traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Our guest today,
one of the greatest professional wrestlers
of all time,
Shawn Michaels.
Wow. Let's cut this.
You saw me work today. Am I going to beat Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia?
Well, now, look, come on.
What was that mean?
You got to have a little bit of a screw loose. Clearly, you've got that.
You guys invented the suck it. Bro, I was in high school doing suck. I didn't even know where it came from.
What do they suck it?
I do my best to come across well, but I am white trash.
You know what I mean? I actually had something to bring to the table.
I am the table.
I am the table.
You do understand, like, in this business, like, the table never ends up.
I don't know why I said it.
First thing came to your mind, right?
No, the idea.
I'm the table.
How's everybody feeling today?
I feel fantastic.
Me too.
And I'll tell you why. I kind of walked into this arena realizing that we are shooting in an arena. We're in the NXT arena. This has got to be one of the coolest places we shot at.
I would say probably, yeah.
Yeah, 100%,
maybe
right?
Number one, yeah.
We got an audience as well, a live audience. audience of Prime.
They're useless. We just sit there so stupid and stoic.
What are you talking about?
I haven't seen him applaud once.
Prime's over there. So listen, guys, here we are. It's a show. It's
let me just say this before you get into it. You just got in. You already trained today, right?
For 3 hours, with our guest.
Amazing. Me and George were doing a little bit of training of our own this morning. Training not dying in the environment that we were put in today. At our hotel, they decided that they wanted to, when we walked in, they said, "We just want to let you guys know, we're just doing some light renovations. Just some light renovations, so the gym's closed and so is the pool." We said, "No problem."
No problem.
I hear light renovations, I think maybe a guy, you know, whistling, painting a wall.
Yeah. or fixing the light fixtures. Yeah, some light renovations.
Jackhammers.
Yeah.
Jackhammers. Not on some bougie 10 floor down type jackhammers. They put me purposefully on the same floor as they decided, yo, you know what? We don't really fuck with the patio anymore. We're going to build a pool today. They are jackhammering a swimming pool outside of my hotel room.
So then I have a question for you, George.
Yes, please.
What is louder, the jackhammers or Mike?
The jackhammers, bro. It was bad. It was like, no, it was like, we can't even joke about it. Like, I honestly went down and I go, guys, how are you opened? Like, how is anybody even sleeping here? Mm. And you know, they tell us, I go, renovations. I go, no.
Yeah,
I get it.
That's their answer.
But like, could you guys do something about it? Like,
oh, it's that bad?
Oh my God.
No, Logan, you don't know about this.
Well, can I tell you the problem?
Yes.
No offense, everyone who lives here. We're in Orlando. What the fuck are we doing here? Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world, globally traveling. If you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button. Pause the video. Hit that subscribe button. Most of our people who watch these videos actually don't hit that button for us. And it's important
because
we want to maintain our following that is higher than the Nuck Boys.
They're coming fast, bro.
They're coming fast.
I don't know how I like how I said that.
You think the Nuck Boys come fast?
I don't know.
I don't think so. Actually.
You guys come fast.
Well, him and Jacob, it's like a known thing with them.
What the fuck, I've man? I've heard it. Not if I love someone.
That's not what I heard, man.
What?
Dude, I'm in that group chat with
we talking about
girl, dude, and she hit me and she's like, "Bro, do you know those Roman wipes you're always promoting on your channel? Do you have any extras?"
Oh my gosh. No, it's not true. You gotta believe me. Should we bring on the guest?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it probably makes sense.
Great time.
This is actually incredible, guys. Our guest today is considered one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time. He is the former WWE champion, top guy, and face of the company, and most recently serves as the, get this, WWE Vice President of Talent Development Creative, who I currently train with, sort of, today. It is the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Wow. He's got a long way to walk.
I know. Why do we put him outside the ring?
No, No, because it's an important moment.
That's right.
Look at that. Oh,
this is cool.
Look at that.
What's up, man? Here we go.
What's up, brother? Is it weird shaking hands and having them sit here after you guys just beat the shit out of each other for 3 hours?
No. So he trained me today, and I was able to absorb knowledge from, you know, one of the greatest.
I don't physically get bounced around and stuff. Those days are behind me. You know what I mean? I have a stand-in. I explain a lot of stuff, you know, describe how cool it's supposed to look, and I have a, you know, stand-in come in and go like, okay, now go down.
No,
like a stunt double.
Yeah.
Almost, I mean, you've been doing it forever. And I'll tell you from experience, and especially today, that you saw this shit hurts.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Yeah. No, well, look, as we talked about, like, it's, you know, it's from the day you're born, you're taught not to, you know, again, every time you fall down, like, oh, you know, I mean, everybody, and what we do is the last thing you want to do. You're taught your whole life not to do that. But again, for us, and it's attacking the mat, like, not just do it.
Yeah.
But really do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So that's what we were working on today.
Do your best to put yourself in pain.
Which is so counterintuitive. You're supposed to just hit things and go and attack as hard as you can. And in my mind, it doesn't make any sense. But I mean, Sean, let's cut the shit. You saw me work today. You train with me. Am I going to beat Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia in November 5th Crown Jewel?
Well, now look, come on. I'll
what was that mean? What are you doing?
Because you put me big on the spot, like, am I going to beat him? I mean, well, it's, you know, like, damn. I mean,
what the fuck, man?
Well, I'm just saying,
so
like,
no.
This is number three, right?
Yeah.
For you? Yeah. Like, in my third one, am I going to beat one of the best of all time? Well, I mean, you know, cut me some slack. You know
he told
I mean?
The,
well,
he
I'm
told
just
us.
Saying, I mean, it took me 10 years and, you know, I'm one of the greatest of all time. And not that you can't get there, but at number three, I think you're going to do fantastic. All kidding aside, honestly. So from the first time I saw you at Mania, you know what I mean? You can see the work you put in.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And you're you know, you're a gifted athlete. You have a natural ability. And clearly, you know, the boxing, very different from this,
yeah.
Right? As you're figuring out.
Yeah.
And this has got a number of different dynamics to it that make it very different than football, baseball, basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And then of course, boxing. Even, you know, like the MMA stuff. Again, this is sort of controlled violence. And look, it's difficult to pick up. But the thing is, you've transitioned into it pretty well. But what you found out today is the... you know, again, you can do a lot of the cool, flashy moves. You can execute a lot of stuff. But going about it with that reckless abandon and trusting in the training you've done, you find that's the hardest part.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And understanding the difference between getting hurt and getting injured.
Mm.
Getting injured, we don't want. Getting hurt, you might as well accept that's going to happen.
100%.
Yeah.
Yikes. I saw you after your last couple matches. You're banged up. Like, this is real stuff going on in that ring.
Well, what we were talking about today is and that reckless abandon and commitment to the craft that you mastered is like these matches last forever. You know, they're filmed and people watch them for the rest of time.
Yeah.
I can take a little pain. I just ideally, if the technique is right and my partner is working with me the way you know, we're supposed to, we're not leaving with torn ACLs, broken bones, concussions.
Yeah. Well, no. And I'll say this because that's like when we started, obviously, you didn't know it was going to last forever. Mm. And at one time it didn't. But now, again, with, you know, and I say, because I'm the old guy, you know, like your generation.
Actually,
it does.
Mike's the old guy.
Yeah.
So, we'll get into that.
But
trust
it
me.
Is. But it does. It does last forever. You know what I mean? And you want it to be good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You want it to be representative of. And look, like I said, you've jumped into a lot of stuff, but you jump in all the way. And I guess that's the thing. When you decided you wanted to come down here, I guess I just figured, like, look, it's one thing to want to do it. It's another thing to try to, you know, when I said, you got to have a little bit of a screw loose. Clearly you've got that. But again, but that's... But
have you met his brother yet?
but that's the key. That's the key.
I said, we're all here because we're not all there. Which holds true for this group,
whoa,
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a great line.
It's cool, right?
That is a great line.
Did you write that?
And
I stole
it. Or is that like Hunter S. Thompson?
I stole it from Jake.
Yeah. You stole
all great stuff is stolen from somebody.
You're like an artist, baby.
Yeah. I was going to say to you, speaking of being around forever, I was 9 years old. I think it was WrestleMania 10, ladder match, Razor Ramon.
Yeah.
You were a hero of mine. I was a Razor guy. My best friend Matt growing up was a Shawn guy, Shawn Michaels. I've been Sweet Chin musicked so many fucking times, bro. Off the side of couches, in the pillows. And from the age of 9 to where I am now at 37, a lot has happened in my life. I'm clinging on for life, to be honest with you. How are you still alive, bro? How are you still alive?
And like, by the way, looking great. What is your skin regimen? That's what I want to know.
Well, look, first of all, yeah. Well, again, I've tried. Look, there's a physical aspect of what I did that I wonder if I'm still alive. And then there's a lifestyle aspect that I look. That's why I'll say this. That's why I'm so appreciative, of the job I do. I'm very Mr. Nostalgic and loving, and I'm way into the romance of this job, and even doing this. Like, you guys are like one of the coolest dudes in the world. Oh, I'm like in real life such a square. I'm country bumpkin. You know what I mean? I am so mag wheels on a dump truck. Again, wearing this, I'm trying to look nice and do my best to come across well. But I am white trash. to be perfectly honest,
they know very much what that means.
I'm from Ohio,
but I'm just saying again, to have survived everything. You know what I mean? And now getting to do this, help the next generation, and then have a dude like you come in and get to help with something really huge that you're going to be doing. Dude, this is all a gift for me. The goalposts have moved so many times for me. Mm. I started before it was worldwide. I wanted to be the Southwest heavyweight champion. That was like when it was small territory days. My idea of fame was going to be like going to Laredo, going to Corpus Christi, going to Waco, and then getting to perform in San Antonio, and then one day walking down the mall and everybody knowing who I was. I went on a trip to some crazy place in Africa, small town, and the entire airport swarmed me. You know what I mean? And I had no idea why they were doing it. And then all of a sudden, they're all coming towards me. Even the guys left the security, coming over because the WWE has gotten so big. Yeah. Again, I was a kid that wanted to get noticed going down the mall. You know what I mean? And so, for me, it's been a freaking dream.
You've exceeded your own expectations far beyond you could have ever imagined.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And again, like I said, and then, so at first I get it, and then I practically screwed up. Mm. You know what I mean? By living a lifestyle, not exactly the healthiest. Well, looking back on it, now being on the other side, you can, I have to be careful about glorifying it because you do a lot of stuff that like nobody will ever do. You know what I mean? And they go like, holy cow, that must have been really cool. I'm a rock star. And you go like, you don't want to say like, it was pretty cool. Because you don't want them going down that road.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you almost screw it all up and then you get a second chance. Mm. You know what I mean? To come back, right all those wrongs, end it differently, end it on your own terms.
Would you do it differently if you could go back in time?
Look, so here's the part where I always get conflicted in that. I would love to be able to go back, do it the right way, and have it all turn out as well as it did. The one thing I wonder, though, is I don't know if I could have got to that place that we were talking about where you're off enough. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm naturally a conservative, quiet, shy person. I don't know if I'd have been able to get there, to that crazy place.
That shocks me.
If I didn't go down
that life loosened you up.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not sure I'd have been able to go there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As we were talking about, I watched your, some of your stuff, and that's the thing. You're uninhibited.
Yeah.
You're ready to go there. You got to have that to do this job. I got a little of it. I just don't know if I'd have been able to just not care.
This podcast is brought to you by Cash App, the easy way to send, spend, save, and invest with friends. Cash App helps you connect effortlessly with your finances and with your people, and that's money. But do you have a friend in your circle who doesn't yet have a cash tag? Well, It's high time to get that friend to get a cash tag, and here's why. Get your friend to get a cash tag so they can create their own custom cash card and put their cash tag on it. Tell them they can draw their own face on the card if they want, or they can draw an elk counting dollars, whatever they want. Cash App did the research, and the cash tag, Elk Like Money Too, was not yet taken. So, Mike, if you want that to be your cash tag, brother, that's
one.
Oh, you got one? Yes. Perfect. Get them to get a cash tag so they can finally buy those fine pastries for their figure drawing. You can tell them all their friends want them to have a cash tag if they're a people pleaser type. They then can whisper their cash tag to strangers at the local library. And get that friend to get a cash tag so that they can start also spending, saving, investing, splitting, tipping, donating, and gifting, or just pressing buttons to look busy on the number one finance app in the App Store.
Let's
download
go.
Cash App from the App Store or Google Play Store today to create your own cash tag. New users can use code IMPULSIVE to get $15.
Ooh.
Did you hear what I just said? $15. Use the code IMPULSIVE. Terms apply. Back to the program.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I just do want to give just context.
Sure. No, yeah, go ahead.
For people who are listening and maybe aren't, you know, Shawn Michaels fans or don't know what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Here. So, you were one of the most prolific and best wrestlers the WWE has ever seen, especially your showmanship, and which is why I say it's shocking, you know, when you say you're more of like a subdued, relaxed, like shy guy. Google one performance this guy did.
It is not,
I wouldn't describe it like that. But at the same time, outside of the ring after the match was over, right, you did have the rock star lifestyle. You're quoted saying, if we work 300 days a year, we party 290. Party drugs, painkillers for the injuries, and a slew of ups and downs. You got kicked out of the WWE after your first match. After your first match ever, no? For getting in a bar fight?
Well, so it got exaggerated a bit, like everything wrestling does. But look, we got hired. Like, wow, we're finally here. And of course, you know, somebody like, you need to go out with the guys, get to know them and everything. Like, Josh, we don't know. Like, go on. We'll go out with them. So we went out and, you know, you're trying your best to stay out of trouble. But then, you know, somebody was coming around like, come on, here you guys are big partiers. Like, no, you're trying to play reserved. And like, come on. And so you go like, all right. So I grabbed, you know, a glass off of the bar and, you know, smashed it on my head. And of course.
Normally.
I was just trying to show, like,
but you said it like it was so casual.
Well, back then, I don't know. Look, this is a business that was, especially then, full of some savages, man.
Yeah.
I mean, real men.
Yeah.
And I was 22, and you're trying your best to fit in,
yep.
And you feel like that's the way to do it. And then the next day, you know, it's like, yeah, that's not going to work.
Oh.
So we were hired for a day. And then we got fired. And I can remember, we're like, oh my goodness, can we at least make a last ditch effort to talk to you? And I remember going to the office in Stamford, sitting out there, and I've got my cowboy boots on, and you know, Vince comes out, he goes, nice boots. And I went, oh, thank you, sir. He goes, they were made for walking. And I was like, oh my goodness. He goes, no, I'm just kidding. Come on in.
Oh.
And then he fired us.
He wasn't kidding.
No,
he wasn't kidding.
Yeah.
What year was this?
1987.
Oh my God, dude. Different times.
Yeah.
Completely different times. That led into what I was talking about earlier. Like, I would consider to be one of the golden eras that you kind of ushered in of WWE. And I want to talk more about the road life, but I want to ask you quickly. I know you probably, for business reasons, would say that the golden era of WWE is right now, probably.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, look, it keeps changing.
Right.
We're more prosperous than ever.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But I think everybody, every generation kind of has their golden era, I think. You know what I mean? Everybody feels like theirs was the best. I will say that I feel like what we did was different and innovative because we changed it from what it had been for so long, from that traditional purist to that attitude,
yeah,
where, again, television was changing, more real life television. You know what I mean? Yep. Where we would pull the curtain back a little bit. It wasn't so, as we would call it, pretend. It was we.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Started going there. And again, look, not to the extent that you guys do, but getting real. And some of the storylines that were going on in the back were actually more important and better than the ones we were putting on television. So we just started bringing a lot of the truth forward, and that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Why? You know, why is that? Normally, especially authenticity, I feel like would fuel great success.
Because, different times.
Yeah, it was just different times. This business was built on,
characters.
Trying to convince you again that it wasn't entertainment, that it was a real fight, that you did hate each other. And look, and the thing is, sometimes that real animosity was there, but sometimes it was between guys that we weren't creating animosity with on television, if that makes sense. That we just decided, like, maybe we bring some of that real life problems that we have in the locker room to television. Again, reality TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And not make it so based on complete imagination, bring some of the real life stuff that's going forward onto it. And also, again, having to be a little bit more in your face. You know what I mean? The viewer got more sophisticated and smarter. You know what I mean? And they could tell what was like, they can tell sort of like what's BS. You know what I mean? And to your point, the authenticity. But there was a time you could cover that up. You could camouflage it. But after a while, the viewer gets, conditioned and smarter and wiser. And again, that rubs people the wrong way. Change is hard. Just put it this way. Yeah. When you've been doing something for 20, 30 years, and people get comfortable, they don't like people coming in and shaking it up.
But it's
and that's
so
what we
needed.
Were doing.
It's so needed.
Yeah.
People get too comfortable and they stay with the same exercise for so long, and that's when people get bored and they get tired of it.
If you ain't moving forward, you're standing still.
Yep.
You know, plain and simple. And that's how we felt, Hunter and I, and Razor and Nash and look, Austin did. I mean, there was just many different people. Again, that were from a different generation. We appreciated the traditional format, but we recognized television was changing, and you have to adapt the product to the television. You know what I mean? Where it's gone from arenas and stuff like that were fun and exciting, but now it's a more television-based product. You know what I mean?
It is so interesting. Hurricane Shane Helms, who's been coaching me throughout this whole process and producing some of my matches. He's right over there. He said it used to be a wrestling show that was televised, and now it's a television show that has wrestling.
Absolutely, and
the nuances of where the cameras are and how subtle you can be sometimes that now exist didn't when you guys were coming.
Exactly. Well, and again, you think about it, everything was wide. Mm. And again, it was more about the moves and the physicality going, on in the ring. But now we can come in close. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you can see that, oh God, what's that look mean?
Yeah.
You know, and again, it got more Hollywood, I guess. And again, that's something that, the purists, the old time, we didn't do that back in my day. And it wasn't as good. I don't mean that. I mean it respectfully.
Of course.
You know what I mean? It's just advancements. And again, look, and it's just sometimes people don't take that really well.
For sure. Like you said, change is hard.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Well, you said that you would want to go into the mall, and I'm guessing this is your hometown, be recognized. Who are you looking up to be like and try to imitate? Because I'm watching Logan get into this, and all I'm seeing is him taking pieces from people that are great. Yep. Who is the great ones that you were trying to
locally it started with like Wahoo McDaniels and Tully Blanchard. You know what I mean? They were, again, in Southwest Championship Wrestling, they were our big guys there. But then you know, of course, dating myself, but then cable television comes out. And now I'm able to get, you know, WTBS out of Atlanta. And now I see, you know, Ric Flair for the first time. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my goodness, he's cool. And Tommy Rich, you know what I mean? Tommy Rich driving the Firebird,
yeah.
You know, down the road, like, oh my goodness, into the blonde hair and Flair on the jet, you know, with the Rolexes and everything else. And you go like, oh my God, that looks like the greatest gig in the world. He made the job look so fun. You know, and then we start getting, you know, WOR-TV out of New York. And then you see Bob Backlund and, you know, and Pedro Morales. And you go like, well, that's a whole different kind of genre up there. Yeah. And so, again, and that's exactly what you do. You sit there and now you're exposed to so much more. And you go like, well, a piece of that, a piece of this, a piece of that. And, you know, then that's how you begin to mold who you are.
Sure.
If I were to answer the question, look, I think I probably stole from a guy like Ric Flair, you know, more than anything. But I would also throw in, again, they're like the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton out of those two. You know what I mean? The way he got beat up. Ricky Steamboat, you know, he's, you know, what we call selling. He did that really well. You know what I mean? And so, and then, you know, because I was raised in Texas, there's a luchador style, obviously, you know, that I just felt that I thought was flashy and cool. And that's, again, you begin to piece together different, you know, pieces of people that you like and try to make that your style.
That's who you pulled, you know, together to mold yourself. I get the luxury or opportunity to sit and create content with my best friends and with other people even outside the show that I just love to work with. But there's a couple of those people that stand out to me as people that make my job easier and are collaborators that make me excel at what I do. Is there anyone from that brotherhood of the late 80s, early 90s that stood out to you as the guy that you wanted to collaborate with the most, the person you felt most comfortable creating
with? Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, I mean, we had a nickname. We were known as the Click. Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. And that was, you know, it was Nash, Hall, and Waltman. You know what I mean? That we were with each other all the time. We talked business all the time. We loved it. We were with each, we spent more time with one another than we did, you know, again, for those of them that had families, you know what I mean? And it was, we ate, slept and drank, you know, this business. And of course they're your buddies and you're talking about doing stuff together. Look, Scott and I, Razor, we worked with each other, you know, for 2 years straight, probably, you know what I mean? And like the ladder match you spoke of earlier, we had done those on a loop. We didn't even, you know, not that you got a lot of preparation back then. There's not as much preparation then as there is now, but we're going into this ladder match at WrestleMania 10. First time they've ever had a ladder match on a pay-per-view. We don't have any time to sort of discuss how this is going to go. But he and I had worked with each other so many times. We had done ladder matches together that we can just go out there. We knew each other backwards and forwards. You know what I mean? I knew where he was going to be every second. You know what I mean? And it's like what we were talking about earlier. You know, you start to go, he starts to move a certain way. I know where he's going. And you get into that dance and that flow, that comfortability, you know, that, again, that you have with your buddies. You know, you begin to know one another.
At an intimate level, and it becomes these almost like micro cues, micro expressions that no one else would notice, that only you guys have in a secret language. And I obviously am well aware of your relationship with Scott over the years. And, you know, obviously March, one of the most tremendous losses in the history of, you know, this organization. I wanted to ask you, you know, quickly what that was like for you and what you went through when that happened.
Well, look, you know, obviously in a lot of respects, because Scott had a lot of struggles. From our perspective, like we looked at it that, and again, that's not fair. We looked at it as that we got, you know, a lot of extra time with him. You know what I mean? Because we were for a long time really scared that it would have happened, you know, before it did. You know what I mean? So we at least had the opportunity, especially all of us, as you know, as we got older, we all got sane and we made a conscious effort. You know, you don't get to see each other all the time, but you know, at Hall of Fames and WrestleManias, you know, we always made it a point to spend time with one another. So it was hard for sure, because it's just, you know, there's never a right time or a good time. But we were thankful that we got to, again, because there were times before that, heck of a lot harder. You know what I mean? And times when he was in a lot worse place where we didn't think, you know, and I guess for us, the fear of him being somewhere else, I don't know, and it, you know, him being alone, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. So, you know, everybody had, you know, all the relationships, everyone was good with one another. Him and Kev were, you know, doing appearances and stuff like that with each other. It all seemed to be in a good place. So it is as best a bad circumstance can be, it was kind of that. You know what I mean? And, you know, again, and we did, we all, it's one of those things where, you know, we got together and it was more, you know, and it's always cliche to talk about, we want to not mourn the death, but celebrate the life. But it really was, you know, when we were together, it was more of a celebration in that respect because, you know, because we did, we all thought like, you know what, we thought this was going to happen 20 years ago. We got an extra 20, you know what I mean? And so, you know, like I said, you're thankful for that.
You know what we've been watching every Sunday? You guessed it. The NASCAR playoffs. Fast cars, wrecks, fights, all the action anyone could ask for. It might be the end of the season, but the intensity just started. This weekend, NASCAR is back at Martinsville Speedway. So strapping for a wild ride as the stars of NASCAR Cup Series take on Martinsville Speedway. The eight drivers left are vying for their spot to be a champion. The stakes are high as this is an elimination race, so the playoff field will be cut down to the final four after this race. NASCAR always delivers an action-packed race full of lead changes, wild wrecks, and close finishes.
And fights.
Brand new fights. Go get them, Bubba. Go get them, Bubba. We're going to have you on the show soon. They're going to keep you on the edge of your seat the whole race. You've got to experience NASCAR in person, so be sure not to miss the action. Go to NASCAR.com/tickets to get your tickets today. Can't make the race? Tune in and get ready to take a beer shower at the finish line with NASCAR Martinsville Speedway in Virginia this weekend, 2 p.m. Eastern on NBC. Back to the pro.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Graham.
As someone who also has had struggles in those departments, mental health, substance abuse, you know, in my own life, I know that you have as well had your own struggles. And the reason I wanted to talk about that road life a little bit more with you, we, on a level not even comparable to you guys, have started to get into this traveling lifestyle. And it's a very strange, lonely life. And even though you're with your buddies and you're in the same city as them, you find yourself in these hotel rooms, in these random, and I'm gonna bring back some memories for you that you're still having all the time, I'm sure. These random hotel rooms and these random clubs and these random restaurants, and you meet these people and you meet these girls, and a lot of it becomes very empty. And I guess I wanted to ask you how much of that road life, that you know, exhausting time zone switching, constant abuse on your mental and physical health contributed to the other demons that started to present themselves over the years.
Well, look, obviously it had to. I always have kind of wondered, like, what was it? I guess because I thought I was raised pretty well. You know, my dad was a military guy, but it's not like it was overbearing. My parents stayed together. It's a good, you know, good close family. I think for me, I just wasn't ready, I think, for all, you know, again, like I said, that, you know, it got so much bigger than I possibly imagined. You know what I mean? Because again, I just wanted to be the guy in Texas, and and it got so big, and I don't think I was prepared for that. And look, when everything's said and done, I essentially go, look, I was weak kind of morally, or you know what I mean? And from a character standpoint, I broke down, and I guess I was just so curious of what it would be like to, I don't know, to see what that other side looked like. You know what I mean? That I thought I would just peak every now and then. But then you don't realize, you keep telling yourself, you know, it's not that bad, but then before you know it, you're up to here. You know what I mean? And I don't, like I said, I wish I, you know, wish I
could. He knows what you mean.
Yeah.
I started as a weekend warrior myself, you know, and you know then it's every weekday.
You tell yourself, only do it when I'm on the road. You go, okay, that's great, but you're on the road like 280 days a year.
Yeah.
Dude, that's like, that's like not, you're doing it all the time.
Yeah.
You know? And so, and it is, you convince yourself of that. And again, when everything's, it's so weird because like now, I don't know, like I can't imagine. It feels like, ugh, like an effort. If I would have to, I go to the hotel room, all I want to do is get in the bed.
Yeah.
And lay down and watch TV. The idea of getting up and going downstairs to go to the bar, like, ugh, that sounds like work.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Just get tired. I mean,
it is work. Dude, every time I'm drinking, it's work.
Taxing.
Yeah. I got to reset my, like this grind is just that. And it is taxing. But I do appreciate the times when I can separate myself from this a little bit, and especially when you're working that hard like that, I mean, in a weird way it is a balance.
Yeah.
and it keeps you artistic, because that's the one thing about this industry that has gotten me hooked as an outsider. Now that I see the ins and outs of the business, and I really see the beauty in what I consider an art, the story, the physicality, the performance, it's incredible, man. And you guys have this canvas that we're sitting on now, and you can do whatever you want in the most creative ways. It's truly limitless. And in my journey as a student, as I continue to try to just be their best wrestler and entertainer I can be, I've been watching so many documentaries, and I watched yours, and so many interesting things about it. And I found the relationship that you had with Hunter, Paul Levesque, mm-hmm. Triple H, now my boss. incredible, right? Like you guys invented the suck it, which every teenager in the world.
That was my life.
Seriously, done so many times. Like, bro, I was in high school doing suck. I didn't even know where it came from.
And then
I
what it meant.
Or what it meant.
What do they suck it?
Yeah. And then it's from you. You guys pioneered this. And I wanted to ask about the lifestyle that you were living and Hunter's involvement in keeping you on the right track-ish. Like, it seemed to me when I was watching this documentary that he was responsible in many ways for making sure that you got to the next show, that you even stayed alive sometimes.
Yep.
And sometimes having a friend like that is invaluable. Are you forever grateful for him?
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's why it, you know, sounds cliche, but it's, you know, for he and I, it's ride or die to the end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And again, he went down here, and again, like, just cause for everybody, like I came on here, like I, you know, it's like, you know, I'll do 2 hours a day, 3 days a week. That's, again, I'm retired. I don't want to do anything. I'll come down to your performance center. I'll talk with people for 2 hours, do that Monday through Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm done. And now I'm
you're involved,
senior man. Vice president, working 80 hours a week. You know what I mean? But it's the close. I tell everybody, it's the closest thing I can do to paying him back for what he did for me. Because again, and that's where it is. It's where you get. And I'll say, look, that's why it wasn't even a thought to train with you, because I could see that you do understand. Again, it is the art.
Uh-huh.
It's the understanding and the appreciation of what it is we do, that it is, you know, it's not that wrestling thing. It isn't that. It is our form of art and an expression of ourselves and the creativity
totally.
Where we're allowed to, again, create something that lasts, like you said, that lasts for us. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's our way of, I don't know, whatever it is, it's our way of giving, you know, our artistic, you know, creativeness to the world, you know, and it's through this, you know, this is our muse, so to speak, and our canvas. But, you know, and again, you know, even I knew it afterwards, but it really, even as you watch, you know, your own documentary and you watch it and you realize, you know, because, you know, I'm out for half of it. And then I go back and I see it and I can replay it in my mind and I realize, like, God, I don't know if everybody understands the risk that he took. Again, he was willing to do that, but again, and I know everybody can only see him now as the head cheese, but he wasn't then. You know what I mean? I was, you know, the top dude at that time, and he was the guy. He was, you know, still waiting for his first break, and he was a friend of mine. He had, you know, he was the best friend of the most hated guy in the company and in the business, and he never left my side. He could have thrown me under the bus at any point, saved himself.
you know what I mean? And said, the hell with it, I wasn't even there. Mm. You know what I mean? And he never did it. And so for me, and again, that's kind of stuff I can cry about, because they go like, how can I not give every ounce of myself for whatever it is he needs me to do?
That's,
you know,
awesome.
Because I mean? Again, that's well, and from the, you know, what is, whether it's Scott, Kev, I mean, that's the one thing, that's what we want for each other. Again, you know, you guys know whether you're there or not, but for us, again, it was a life with one another where it was us. You know what I mean? We didn't have wives and kids and any of that stuff. We had each other. And again, it was our version of whatever, wartime. It was our time of being in the foxhole with one another.
Yeah.
In this life. And so it just, and then you see and you understand and you're old enough to appreciate what he did for you. And I go like, come on, how do I not, I don't know, spend the rest of my life, you know, between you and my family. I have two. I mean, you know what I mean? And it's great, you know, Steph jokes about it. My wife jokes about it, which is like, you know, the road wives. And,
other mayors.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, and my wife does look, you know, it was Hunter, and then Hunter traded him off to me. And I trade him off to Hunter. And we each, you know, depending on which one's on duty that night, that's who's taking care of Sean and getting him through life.
I was talking about content creators and collaborators earlier and people that we love to work with. And we have those. We all have those in our profession, in our career. But then we have our friends. We have our real, real friends. And there's so much, just like with you, there's so much stuff that goes on in front of the camera, and people make their assumptions. They look at this show and they look at our content and they're like, oh, this is what their relationships are like. But as you know, in the real friendships, the greatest part of all of that happens off camera.
Yeah.
And so what he did for you, clearly you recognize that he was a real friend. And absolutely, you guys were real, actual brothers.
Yeah. Oh, no, and that's what I'm saying. And again, his career got hurt numerous times, again, because of me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's still stuck. You know what I mean? And I don't know. And like I said, I just don't know. And like I said, I just don't know how you, I don't know. Nobody else did that. You know what I mean? Again, it was so easy to, you know what I mean? Or like, I didn't see, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and again, there are times, I mean, right there and going down and, you know, and you know what I mean? You're coming with me? Yep. You know, having your back every time. And him, and hell, I don't know, probably half the time he's like, I don't even think he's right, but I'm going anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm there for you anyway. You're dead wrong, but I'll go down
but
with
I'm
you
going
anyway.
With you.
Yeah. And so.
Ride or die.
It's like that movie in the town when he goes to the apartment and he's like, I can't tell you where we're going, but I can only tell you that we're going to hurt some people and you can never talk about it again. And he just goes, whose car are we taking? Like, that's his answer. Yeah. Like, the answer is just set. It's always built in. I got your back no matter what.
Right. And that's the thing. We do. We joke about that, which is, and again, you know, it's like, you know, don't worry. Like, they won't find the body. you know, it's one of those things like, yeah, whatever. It's Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid.
For sure.
You know what I mean? We're going off the cliff.
Is there anything you could kind of like squeeze out, like a little sum that you didn't ever say before? Like maybe there's some shit that you're like, that can't go out. And it maybe comes out right now.
No, if there were, I wouldn't be the dude I was. But no, there is nothing. I'm like a vault, baby, vault.
Yeah, right. No, it's incredible. Like I watch that friendship and I get emotional. Like that bond is unbelievable. And then the fact that now, you know, 20, 30, 40 years later, however long it's been, he is in charge. He's the boss of WWE. And here you are, the WWE Vice President of Talent Development Creative.
Yeah, and that's senior vice president now. I got an S on the phone.
Oh, my
now.
God.
Dang.
So it was funny because we were laughing about it in the ring today. And I'm like, yo, you got to be a professional now. In many ways, right? Like you got to be the rock star and the wrestler. Now you got a corporate position, technically.
You're a suit.
You're a suit, man.
Yeah, man, things change.
And I still don't know how I'm doing yet. You know? Look, I hope. Again, I really do. I think part of, you know, and again, Hunter's, he's been built and trained and all of that for it. You know, I haven't, but at the same time, you know, and again, I'm developing too down here, and it's something new. But again, I enjoy it. I'm clearly different and a bit more, I don't know, I'm less sharp, less distinguished. As I mentioned to you, I'm more mag wheels on the dump truck. You know what I mean? It's like it's. It's still a trailer home, but it's a really nice one in the place. I got the best trailer in the park.
It's in Malibu.
You know?
Yeah,
exactly. Malibu, you know what I mean? Exactly. You know, mine's got a really nice fence around. Nice. You know what I mean? And so yeah, but you know, again, and but being here, and I think my attitude here, the you know, at the training center and NXT, it's about youth and it's about fun. And I do know that I bring that. I mean, I try again because, you know, I'm obviously older, but I am still a kid inside. I don't have a mature bone in my body. Again, I've literally tried. But again, I think people understand what they're getting with me. But again, you're also not, it doesn't bother me if they don't take me to a board meeting or something like that. It's probably best.
It's so funny. One of the first things he said to me when we met today, and you could probably guess, take a guess.
You're a lot bigger than I thought you'd be.
Yeah.
As we get it every single day.
You're a lot taller.
But it really was like, holy cow, you are, you're a tall kid.
Yeah, and I go, like, you know, as I do without skipping a beat, it's my go-to line. I go, yeah, I'm still a pussy, man.
Yeah.
And then him, without skipping a beat, I never see anything like it. He goes, well, that makes two of us. Yeah. I'm like, this guy's fantastic. Yeah. We're going to get along.
Great company. Not a problem.
Yeah, for sure. but it was also cool for me today to see and hear that you are learning as a coach, because there's a big difference between being a good athlete and being a good coach, even if you were that good athlete. And you were describing to me today how oftentimes, especially now, you're in that position where Sean, how do I do this move? What is this? Am I doing this right? And a lot of the time for you when you were wrestling, it just came instinctually. Right. And so it's sometimes hard to put it into words.
Yeah, to verbalize it.
Yeah. That development as a coach, I'm assuming, has been.
Yeah. Well, look, so the thing is, now, again, in this position, it's a number of different hats. You know, it can be coach one second, producer the next, you know, a writer the next, you know, and I don't, you know what I mean? And so I enjoy that challenge, but they're all things I can remember years ago, again, doing, you know, even in San Antonio, again, a training center and having a small television show there. And I got asked, you know, again, are you giving yourself executive producer, you know, credits? And I was like, yeah. No, I mean, there's somebody else. And well, you're giving yourself, you know, writing credits. And I'm like, no, but, and he goes, you know, and it was like, are you writing the shows? Are you doing the backstages? Are you telling them everything? You know, I didn't realize what I had learned being here, as you guys now understand, you know what I mean? But you learn through television that, you know, the stuff that they teach in college, apparently, we've learned on the road doing this over the years. And it's like, you know, so now you're executive producing, you're writing, you know, you're producing this, you're, you know, again, coaching here, all of stuff that just I did naturally. And then now having to explain to someone and teach that is an entirely different role. Yep. You know what I mean? Because again, and that's what I was trying to, it was mentioned to you, you know, you've sort of had the, you know, the difficult time of learning it sort of in a different, just a sort of a scattered order, as opposed to beginning and then, you know what I mean? And intermediate. And,
yeah,
you know,
we had to kind of reverse today and work on fundamentals. Dog, I have
bro, you started on the top.
No, bro, I have no fun. Right. I have no fundamentals. We're like going through this stuff today, like running the ropes, taking bumps. I'm like, I realized, like, I just skipped all the stuff you should start with.
Right.
So we reversed today.
Yeah, and you know what I mean? Just some of the fundamentals, you know, again, the same, got to be the same amount of steps.
Yeah.
Back and forth, you know what I mean? But it is, again, you get launched into a tough position, especially, as, you know, you're athletic, you can do all that stuff, bang, let's do it, you know? And so you can still get there, but again, the minute you, and again, because you pick it up quick, the minute you are able to tie that into, you know, all of the rest of it, now you're able to start focusing on all the creative and all the other stuff that you enjoy. It's just trying to tie those worlds together. And again, but to know it here, but be able to verbalize it to someone, I found challenging at the beginning, because it was just, I don't know, I just sort of did it. Somebody grabbed me and I went, what I mean? But then, and they're asking you like, but how and why do you do that? And of course your answer is like, well,
I don't know.
Seemed like the right thing to do, so I did it.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just saying, so again, that in and of itself is a learning process of again, you can know it, but can you express it and teach it, you know, to someone?
Are you by any chance helping, so you're teaching them how to be physical, but is there anybody, you don't have to say any names out of respect for them, but is there anybody that you see acting behind the scenes with maybe substance abuse or something that kind of walked in that same direction that you were walking and you're like, hey, let me coach you not to do that?
I don't. I mean, honestly, I don't. And I just think, look, I'll say that from a generational standpoint, I think there are so many kind of horror stories, you know what I mean? That this is a generation that doesn't see it. And this environment here that we have here, we're talking about skilled athletes that are very used to taking care of themselves. I could be wrong. You all know better than me. I think you're a brighter generation. And I think, again, well, at least
there's hope. You are wrong. We are not.
In this regard,
I think you learn how to do both, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, you can have fun, but it doesn't have to be destructive.
In this regard, he's right, I think. I don't see many young athletes going off the rails.
Because they watched what happened.
Well, I do. Maybe that, but also. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? I do. I think they see it.
For sure. We learn from the past, but I mean, if you are going off the rails and you know, making the mistakes that you shouldn't be, there's going to be someone to take your spot. It is way
absolutely
too competitive now.
But I will tell you one of the things, again, so it's not the, there's not any of the substance stuff, but just the, you know, the emotional or the, again, from the ego standpoint or what, so, because my mind just wasn't, you know, because one affects the other.
Yeah.
So then from a professional standpoint, like, you know, what you do with me on TV isn't working, or, you know, I don't like this. Creatively, they don't like it. Doesn't feel right. I don't understand. It seems stupid. It makes me look this way. So, and I am able to at least explain to them, like, hey, first of all, trust the process. We're all here to help you. But when you are expressing, there's different ways to be able to express your dissatisfaction. You know what I mean? When you're talking to the head writer, you might want to word it like this. That way you don't sound like a...
I feel like there's an opportunity to improve the verbiage that you've given.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. But
what the fuck is this? What the fuck is this?
Okay, well, on that note... I can
help him in that respect. Don't do that.
we had to go through that exercise a lot. My delivery sucks. It's over the past few years, it's gotten much better. But I remember when we first started working together, I had to bring my office life over to Team Maverick because the delivery was flawed.
I'm still working on it.
And you're doing much better, but it comes back to this thing that a lot of people are continuing to have trouble with, which is, one, just because you can say something doesn't mean you always should, which is a big thing that we're seeing in society now. No, I have the right. It's my First Amendment right to say, doesn't mean you should. You could say whatever the fuck you want. That doesn't mean you should. And then the even more important one, it's not always about what you say. It's about how you say it.
That's big.
You can deliver the worst scathing criticism to someone, but if you say it in the right way, it will get received properly and the right outcome will happen as a result of that.
Right.
And so those are the kind of things that are strangely hard to teach when you don't have that traditional upbringing. Like, you came up in a place where you said whatever the fuck you wanted to say because you were a superstar, and now you've had to go back and kind of teach it a different way.
Well, he did have a military father, so you probably weren't mouthing off to him.
No. No. And that's why I call people younger than me sir and ma'am, because I still, it's in there. It's been there Southern.
I call people sir and ma'am. Women, especially young women,
they get mad.
It bothers them a bit.
Yeah, when I call her man.
I'm not a man. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Sorry, man.
Sorry. By a colonel in the Air Force. It's just there.
Yeah, shorty is what I usually call her. Well, shut up, shorty. And then you know what they say to me? They're like, dude, I'm taller than you. And I go, that's not fair.
That's not a lie, right? Yeah.
So in the 90s, Vince did reference you as an egomaniac. And I saw you on Ariel Helwani's show recently talking about your relationship to your younger self. And I can actually relate to this in a way. But you said something like, I just can't relate to that guy anymore. But I still see some similarities, you know, in character, but I imagine your routine has changed drastically, right? Like on the documentary, I saw you wake up, you do a little morning stretch instead of...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm up. I'm on the heat pack in the morning, you know, just stretching and just spending some time with myself. And, you know, again, you know, I have faith is a part of my life that has helped me out quite a bit. You know what I mean? And it's just a, I don't know, it's just a.
The men.
Yeah.
Yeah. You activated them.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Go get him, George. Take
yeah,
it away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, listen. Corinthians.
Jesus is Lord.
Are you saved, my brother?
No, not saying.
Wait, my question for you is actually, I do have a faith question. Did you have like a strong faith while you were going through your substance abuse or like ego problem?
No. Well, so I, look, it's one of those things like I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school up till fourth grade. But you know that it wasn't, it's there, but it isn't really there.
You know, my mom tells me, like, I'm like, Mom, I go to church every Sunday. She goes, George, if I put you in that garage, that doesn't mean you're a car.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Well, okay. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm going to reverse and rethink what you just said.
Yeah, it's just a different, again, like I don't go to church anymore at all, but I don't, it's because I'm there every morning.
Personal, yeah. You have a personal experience.
Yeah.
Or a personal relationship, yeah, sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just a huge
one-on-one.
Difference.
One-on-one.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah, because people in the church still don't like me.
What? You know what I mean? What do you mean?
Well, but
what,
you
body slam the pastor, what are you doing? Or something?
Oh, no, I'll fill them in. He took a bottle. He's like,
yeah. No, but like, for instance, I mean, I can go and do, we can do the DX reunion, and we can do our funny opening, you know what I mean? Where it appears that I'm cursing and everything else, and beep, 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 and people can look at me like, are you backsliding, brother?
Like, are you backsliding, like, brother?
Oh, no, I'm it's a show, going on TV, yeah, doing a, you know, just doing some, you sure? Because we're here and we'll pray for you if you want. Like, I think I'm all right.
He just backs it up. Yeah, he goes, why don't you suck it?
Why do you think you're like, I'm just going to get in more trouble, but you want to kind of go like, do you talk to the dude that plays Judas every year in the Christmas play and ask him if he's having trouble, or do you know that he's playing the part of Judas?
Pontius Pilate.
You're going to do something mean to Jesus this year like he does every year at the Christmas party. You know what I mean? And I don't know. So I just don't, that's one of those things where they don't always understand our gig. Sometimes.
I think the churches are some of the denominations are starting to catch up a little bit.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Which is cool. Which
and
is cool.
Like you said,
see.
That's, wait, catch that's up with what?
Wrestling? Just like, no, like with the times. I'm like, yeah. They're just realizing that, like, yo, like, the organizations that get so, we talked about this earlier with WWE. When an organization gets,
I'm not supposed to be talking politics and religion. How somehow we got in there?
We don't have to get too. We don't have to get too
wild. That was my fault. I like to apologize for that.
Are supposed to stay away from or something like that?
No, religion's good. There's going to be a lot of people who love that you're religious, and it's actually beautiful. So I think it's fine. Politics, however, who'd you vote for?
Who'd you vote for?
I'm just kidding. Do not answer. Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
I wrote myself in. Seriously.
Did you have a question? I wanted to ask about something.
No, go ahead.
I want to ask about that time that the Marines beat you up.
Yeah. I know as much, I know as much as what I've known back then. Like, cause I don't, you know, I was all hammered and then I woke up in the hospital. So, you know what I mean? And then,
so, but
I don't know.
I guess I was curious, like, and I know it's going to be hard to put yourself back in that spot, but the story goes as such from what I understand. You're at a bar, there's some Marines there, you were feeling yourself, you taunted them a little bit, they didn't like that, they jumped you, six of them, when you were outside, and they fucked you up pretty bad. Then you were on television like the next day or two with the black eye and the neck brace or whatever. Do you know why you were starting problems with people like a Marine, for example?
Well, no, like, see, like, I don't remember, and again, see, like, so the only people that I have ever known that told the story, again, like, are, you know, again, you know, Waltman and the guys that were there. And I don't know how accurate that is because we were all not in the best of shape. I don't want to say
they're like,
well,
this,
you know,
fire-breathing dragon
well,
came
no,
down
but I'm
from
just
the
saying,
rat. Were you
because,
sure about that?
Again, I was told that, again, because at that time I was, you know, having a good run. I was getting a lot of attention. But also some female attention, and that bothered a number of people. And I probably was, you know, I'm sure I was being obnoxious or whatever, but I have no recollection of any of that. And that's why I was trying to tell people, because they were like, did it hurt? And I was like, it didn't feel good, because I've literally, the last thing I can remember from that night is dropping my coat off at the coat check.
No way.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And then the next thing that I remember is I'm waking up in the hospital you know, and you know, and Tammy and the guy, you know, everybody's there, like, dude, you all right? You know, like, you know, I got up and what happened? You know, and I'm just sort of beat up. I'm like, oh, what happened? And unfortunately, not anything to be proud of, but I was in that position a lot of times, again, just not beat up, where I would wake up in an emergency room and I would go like, okay. And I, you know, just, hey, I'm ready to go. And they're like, well, no, we can't let you know. Like, I'll sign it. I would just sign anything. Boom, pop, I'd go.
Oh, my gosh. And you didn't try to.
You'd go and get 3 or 4 more hours sleep. I'd get up, get in town, go to the gym, go.
Were you working out this whole time, keeping up with your physical routine?
Yep. I was, you know, very functioning. You know, but, well, and I guess the thing is, because more of it was, again, to go down the road, but it was more prescription stuff. And so I was still really good at it. Well, you know what I mean? But yeah, I'm just saying it's one of those things where you do, you know, painkillers in the day. So those didn't make you loopy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then the ones at night that make you loopy. But those, you know, you end up, you're going out and then you wake up and like, all righty, let's go.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, kind of. It depends on how the, I mean, so.
I'll just bring up your book. So he has a thing called.
No, I'm gonna ask a question. So you, let's talk about the painkillers for a second.
Adam's over there. Our WWE guys are like, oh my gosh.
Here we go.
Talk about all this stuff.
He's a PR guy.
Talk about it theoretically.
Senior vice president for the love of God.
Talk about it theoretically.
Don't do it well.
It's Shawn Michaels, right, man. We know about Shawn Michaels.
Right. Everybody knows the story. They gotta.
I just want to talk. So you, 98 comes, you break your back. Is that correct?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Right. So what? Spinal. How did
well,
that
happen? You know, it's herniated, it's screwed up, but yeah, all that. Yeah.
Are you already starting to theoretically someone that looked like you starting to experiment with painkillers at that point or before the injury?
Oh yeah. No, I mean that was so again, it goes back to there is, you know, one of the things, you know, it used to be in this line of work was you're supposed to be able to, you know, one of the badges of sort of honor was, you know, you'd be able to party all night, you know, and then
absolutely
get up the next day and go to the town and, you know, wrestle for an hour and be able to do it again time after time, you know, and then, you know, whatever, you know, drink and take a couple of these to be able to go and to function. That's sort of what, you know, was the cornerstone of a man in our business at one time. And I was, you know, I was young and naive enough to buy into it. You know what I mean? And that's honestly what it is. And like I said, then you're just sort of competing with yourself. And and again, a bunch of dummies competing with each other about, well, who can do the most. But
stay
again,
out latest, have the most sex, do the most drugs. Like who's the warrior, the night warrior?
Yeah, just also, again, the silly competition. Like I said, before you know it, you're neck deep in it. And like I said, and you know, and again, then people are, you know, not until you realize that people are starting to, you know, pass away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yep. Just go like,
wow, this is serious.
It's kind of stupid.
What was your what was your moment? What was your, like,
honestly,
rock
bottom? I could sit there and hear about people passing away and always talk about gotta change. I can remember, again, getting married, and then immediately we're getting, you know, we find out we're having a baby, and all right, 9 months, you got to get it together. And he comes, and, you know, 9 months later, still not there. The thing that ended up doing it is one day I'm half out of it, and I think he's just going on two and a half, but he could see that I was sort of out of it, and he said, oh, daddy's getting tired. Oh. And it just, that's the first time I noticed that, like, oh my God, he can now, he's beginning to sense it. And it and again, in a, you know, your podcast probably supposed to be a heck of a lot cooler, but it broke my heart. You know what I mean? It's the first time that I realized this little guy was only going to look to one person to show him how to be a man. And it was going to be me. And I was, in that moment, I was, you know, screwing it up. You know what I mean? I was failing him. And it literally just, you know, broke me apart. And again, there was no whatever they call them, the shakes or any of that stuff. I mean, the next day, done. And it's been, I just knew it was done, over. And
that's amazing.
Just stopped.
That is amazing.
You know? And I want to say, you come on the podcast, there's nothing uncool about the story you just told.
That was the best story.
No. Right. I want to say this seriously. You should really understand that when you talk about that shit, there's a percentage of people out there listening to this that need to hear that stuff, yeah. man. That need to hear that you noticed it, you were aware of it, and that you were able to get to where you are now and get past it. Because every time those people hear a story of success and change and courageousness through that shit, it makes them feel like they can do it too. So I just want to tell you, like, there's nothing uncool about that story. That's the comeback stories are the coolest stories in this on this planet.
It really is.
There's nothing cool.
I get, I appreciate that. And that's the thing. I guess that's the thing. Again, with all of you, it's just, I appreciate that you can be, I don't know, as us old guys, you're young and hip and all that, but still appreciate, I don't know, again, that's why I feel like you're more, you're
vulnerable.
Better. Well, but yeah, you're better adjusted than we were because we were afraid to go there. You know what I mean? And I guess that's what's, that is what makes it cool is that you're, there's a younger generation that you understand.
Again, it's okay to talk.
It is. And it's like, and that's the thing, I guess you couldn't show that when I was growing up in this, you know what I mean? It made you look weak.
Yep.
And if you were weak, they were going to run right over you. You know what I mean? So you just, you didn't let them do it.
I can see it's challenging you still.
Like yeah. Well, still no, but because I'm so, it bothers me that we allowed that lie to infest this business. You know what I mean? This is a wonderful business. As you're starting to understand how this, how much you can express and give to this, then you can channel all of whatever it is you have in here that you might need to get out. You can work it out in here. You know what I mean? And we were brought up in this business that was built on such BS. You know what I mean? And a kind of, I don't know. And it's not like they made us. So again, I don't ever want to dump on it. It's not like anybody made us.
It was just what you did.
But yeah, it was just so kind of glorified in a way, as opposed to, you know, again, I don't know, like somebody said, like, you know, coach, this is bothering me. Or again, like we're not going to make fun or talk down about mental health or struggling with something or being on the road or this is hard for me in this place. You know what I mean? I'm not going to let one of our young men and women come in here and feel less than because, again, this is the first time they've been away from home or it's different than college or there's something, you know what I mean? Or all these people now, nobody used to attack me online. You know, my Twitter feed, now the first time since they've seen me and all of a sudden it's, you know what I mean? All of a sudden now they're saying all this stuff about me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's a different type of
different animal. And so anyway, I don't know. So I guess, like I said, I don't. That's why I'm in this. That's why I'm passionate about it. That's why, again, I do it. I jump in there with you because, and here at NXT is because we have the opportunity to change this business. WWE has done so much on the, I don't know, on the outside. You know what I mean? But the only people that can change it from a talent standpoint on the inside is us. You know what I mean? And I want to be able to do that. I want to be a part of that. I would love to leave that kind of legacy. The matches and all that stuff, absolutely cool. I would love to lay this business in the hands of men and women that are complete, you know, good character-driven human beings. And you know what I mean? And great performers. You can do both.
And let me tell you, man, that is the full 360-degree legacy. Like, as a student now, I think it's so cool that guys like you, guys like Shane, give their time to help the people that want to be the greats, right? That's the next step. You did the first part, but you have so much invaluable knowledge in that head of yours, and being able to share that, even some of the people that I've worked with thus far, I'm so grateful. I send out my gratitude texts. I sent a text to our group chat and our boys. And I was like, hey, I think it's important that if there's someone in your guys' life that has educated you, mentored you in a way or done something that you're appreciative of, send them a gratitude text. I'm thankful for this, for XYZ, because it goes a long way, man. You're literally shaping the future of an entire industry with the people that you're giving your knowledge to. I personally think it's so cool. And hopefully one day after I do a nice little run, I'll be able to spread whatever knowledge I've gained over the years, because that is that second mountain in a way, that of service.
Service, right? Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, I serve at the pleasure of, you know, the WWE and everybody here. And it's the only way we can sort of I don't know. It's the only way we can give. You know what I mean? And and so, like I said, I love doing it. And again, like, I don't know. And Shane. Shane's another one. Again, he held his little boy for the first time. And I think it changed him too. You know what I mean? That's one of the things. I think, it, you know, for those of us in our line of work, something about them, something about holding them little boys, man. You know what I mean? When you realize, hey, you're looking at me, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, you know what I mean? Like, son of a bitch.
Your priorities change quickly. Quickly.
That's love. And I know we made a joke about the PR thing, but that story right there, regardless if it changes one person, it changed the way I truly look at this field. It really did. So you being vulnerable, which I know is tough, is making men like him not be scared to do it. And on top of all of that, just hearing your stories, you said you heard multiple people pass away and it didn't affect you, which means you didn't care what happened here. But when you saw another being, you were like, all right, I got to change. And that speaks volumes about your character.
Well, thank you. Like I said, it's an ongoing, you know what I mean? I mean, my children are older now, you know what I mean? And I still, but,
Let me ask you something. How old is your son, the one that was the baby boy?
He's 22 now.
Did you ever have a moment with him, now that he's an adult, where you thanked him for getting you out of that hole?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've told him a bunch of times. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, just last night, I'm just going to let you know your old man loves you. you know what I mean? Yeah. I take, because he's up at school now. But yeah, no, I have a number of times.
Does he take pride in that? Or is it just like, I just exist?
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'll say this. I think as they get older, I think they start to appreciate that they're right now in the stage, both him and my daughter, where again, because now so much stuff is coming out, you know what I mean? You see documentaries and so now it's more because they've been raised by a really pretty, Christian conservative dad and, but now they've seen so much stuff and they're like, dad,
you know what I mean? You're an animal.
Dad, you were really out there. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so, like I said, I'm starting to, it's in a good way. Cause I've got over here, I've got the sort of like the dad quality where it's like, again, it's like all the dads, like, yes, dad, do right. Say your prayers, eat your vitamins, all that kind of stuff. I get it. But now I'm getting some of that cool factor standpoint where they go like, dude, you did. You know what I mean? You were once. You know what I mean? Because it's hard to look at your dad that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to know that, like, dude, you were off your rocker.
No, for sure. Oh, my goodness. Sure.
You know what I mean?
I had a conversation with I know exactly what you mean. My dad, my whole life was, my dad. Dad tendencies. Then one night, I think about a year and a half ago, we were at a dinner table and me and Jake were sitting there like asking him now as adults, like an adult, talking to an adult about the past. And I was hearing some of the stories that my dad had done. And I mean, you probably could have guessed this, but Greg Paul was a menace back in the day.
What makes you think he's not a menace now?
Wait. But let me tell you something that's really interesting for parents out there who are finding out that it's probably the hardest job in the world. Here's a little piece of advice or a story. Take what you want with it. The stories that he was telling me were and Jake was at the table too, my brother. Jake had heard before. He told them to Jake when he was in high school, and he didn't tell them to me. I was the straight A student. I didn't drink till I was 18 years old. I was like a good kid, wrestling, academics, sports, I was focused. And Jake is the problem child. He was stealing iPhones. He 1.6 GPA. Like
it's high.
No, it's not.
He was
high. And I always wonder if it's because like my dad told him the stories of what he was doing as a youth when he was a hooligan, and my brother maybe tried to emulate what his old man did. I didn't hear those stories until I was an adult. I didn't know my dad was a fucking troublemaker, like to the 10th degree. And so I just wanted to be the best, son I could. And so it is interesting.
Well, that's the thing. You do wonder the whole time, like, I don't know is it best to be honest with them?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Or we just never said anything really. And thankfully, again, when I was wrestling, they were young. And since they've gotten older, again, we've done a good job. The business has not completely saturated every bit of our life, so their dad does this for a living, but it's never been, they've never been crazy into it, wanted to be in the back and all that. My daughter just now starts coming to this because she's interested in the makeup stuff. My son's never had, you know, any interest in it, you know. So again, you don't, you know, you can sort of stay away from the conversations, but like I said, now it's sort of a different, with again, the documentaries and so much stuff has come up that I've, you know, it's gotten back out there. So it's been a sort of a, another phase of it, but they're older.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. So exactly. Now, they're developed now.
Yeah. Like, so now
your personalities aren't going to change.
Exactly.
Completely.
That's what I'm saying. You can begin to open it up. And like I said, they, you know, I think we've got the foundational stuff in there pretty secure. So hopefully most of what they see and they hear now, what doesn't, you know, doesn't, you know, tip them off their rocker. So yeah.
Speaking, you know, of rockers, I wanted to talk about your relationship with The Rock a little bit.
Okay.
How is that? How is it working with him? You guys have a
I've never worked with him. I work with, you know, his daughter is here. You know what I mean? Yep. And so look, the times I've seen him, we've always gotten along okay. I don't think it was as bad as everybody made it up to be.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, I know that, again, you know, I gave everybody a hard time back when I was younger. But, you know, like when I came back, I made sure I went up to everybody and at least like, sorry. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Honestly, that's the best that I could do, though. But I tried to, when I came back in 2002, and I knew that, you know, there was going to be like, yeah, we'll see. But I it was important to me to go around and make amends, you know, at least tell everybody like, look, you know, sorry about the way I was. And I got no excuse, but, you know, I'm willing to earn back whatever. And look, if you never talk to me again, I'm cool with that too. But, yeah, you know.
That's part of the, that's, what is that?
Like it step, is. Well, that's one of those things like, yeah, I never knew any of that. Because, right. You know, again, that's like, that's why everybody's always asked, like, did you do that? And I was like, nah, just, you know, that's how I always joke about it. I did the one step of Jesus and it was just done. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was just done.
Amen.
Like I said, well, but it was just like all gone. It was just nothing. There was no urge. There was no, you know, missing anything. It just wasn't anything. Right. You know what I mean?
The human brain's strong, man. If we really put your mind to something, and mind you, God forbid, I've never been in any substance abuse, but I see certain people like you that can manage to get out of it. And I think that mental state where people are like, that's gonna be really tough to get out of it, that's just, you're already blocking yourself, you're already causing those obstacles.
Well, I was gonna say, but you're speaking, as we'd say, like you're kind of already speaking it into existence. Mm-hmm. So you know, you just, but again, I understand it. I was just, I look at it as, you know, like a miracle. I go like, you know, I don't think that much about it, because I go like, I'll take it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah. But you found Jesus to be a part of it, though.
Yeah, I don't know. There was, honestly, it was, I think it was finally feeling like, okay, so there is a purpose to kind of my existence here. I'm put here to do something, and obviously it's obviously to help form these two little lives, now two anyway, again, into something productive and decent in this world. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a weird thing, you know? Because everyone always asks like these questions about like how did you get clean? Because I was addicted to opiates for 10 years. And it's like, how did you do this? How did you do that? And the answer is always very near and dear to the person that.
Right.
So it's like, what do I give to you to make you understand? It's really not super easy.
I think what could help is a conversation.
Sure.
And then with the intention of B, finding that motivation, because it is super specific per each person.
Yeah.
So what is it? And quitting opiates, drug, whatever you're using is not easy. And if you're gonna quit, it needs to come solely from you. You need to want to quit.
Yeah.
But you also have to find motivation. And sometimes, man, like conversations like this, someone listening to this, talking to your friends, like discovering what that is, finding that little bit of hope that you can grasp onto to pull yourself out of that hole is all it takes. And the more you learn about yourself, the more you're going to discover.
There's other parts of it too that it's like, why, what, and how. It's like you might have a why, your kid, you know, sitting in front of you, but then you run into issues with what and how. How do I get, you know what I'm saying? I can't do it, I'm too sick, or I need medical supervision, whatever. And then as you know, after you get a good amount of time and you start to find some mental clarity and some time away from the drugs and alcohol, now you need to find a way to keep it going. And that's the part where people run into problems. How do I maintain this now for years and years?
Yeah.
I got very blessed with this, and I've never really talked about this before, with this strange sickness that comes over me when I see people using or when I think about myself using. It makes me feel sick to my stomach. Mm. And I started to play into that when I found the power from that, which was I no longer want to be a loser. That's what I tell myself. And not to call anyone that's stuck in that a loser, but that is what I had to tell myself that I was and that I wanted more for myself. And it was very important that anytime I had an urge or saw some using or even thought about drugs, I became physically ill from that thought. Mm. And so it's a weird tactical note that that worked for me, but everybody needs to find what works for them. And that's kind of the challenge of it.
If I eat like too much of like an unhealthy food, like a cake.
Yeah.
Sometimes that thought of eating that cake the next time makes me sick. And so I won't eat that cake again. So I do see what you're saying.
Yeah. Same thing.
I do see what you're saying. You know, bro, you are smarter than you look. I'll tell you that much.
You look smart. Dumb.
I actually had something to bring to the table. I recently, and I never told anybody.
Motherfucker, you are the table.
Which, by the way, you need somebody to help you with
your
speeches.
We're going to need to work on
that. Thank you.
Hold on. Guys, I'm the table. Zoom in. I'm the table.
You're not the table, bro. You're like a folding table that you put in a trunk.
You do understand, like in this business, like being the table, like that the table never ends up.
I don't know why I said it.
Damn, bro.
I thought it was stupid.
That's the first thing came to your mind, right? You know, I'm the table.
It was supposed to be like.
Thought that one out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what do you bring to the table? Like, yeah. I am the table. Yeah. Fuck you guys.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Sorry. I'm just saying. You gotta have to look on that one.
All right, guys. That's all we got. That's the end of the podcast.
That was awesome.
Shawn Michaels, it's been an honor and a pleasure. And wow. You've blessed us with your time and energy today, and that was extremely rich. I feel full after that podcast, so thank you, dude.
You don't feel like you had the cake, right?
And I don't feel like I ate that cake.
Fair enough,
hey, keep speaking enough. That truth, brother.
Thank you, boys, very much. Pleasure.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys. If you guys have not subscribed to this channel yet, make sure to do so. Hit that subscribe button. And also, November 5th, Saudi Arabia, Crown Jewel, Roman Reigns. The table's coming from you.
Come get you some of this table, Roman. Some of this table.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.